Show with James Reynolds. Helping you get more website traffic and make more sales.
My name's James Reynolds, and today we're joined by James Schramko from superfastbusiness.com. So it's a James and James doubleheader today, the JR and JS show. How are you doing, James?
G'day, how are you, JR? I'll call you JR sometimes because we have the same name. It sounds silly when you talk to yourself, doesn't it?
Now, you and I speak at least once a week, James, and we check in with each other, in fact, many more times than that, exchanging ideas and discussing what's working in the realms of business and marketing. Now, we actually met at Unlimited Power Online in Dubai back in 2009, and that's the event that I'm now a co-organizer of. Now, on that day, you were a speaker and I was a mere humble delegate. So much has changed for both of us since then. And it seems really amazing that it was only 3 years ago that we met.
Yeah, we're in a fast-paced industry, so it does feel like things move quickly. And I guess that's why we're in touch all the time, because we're always checking in and swapping stories of what's working really well. So I think the interesting thing is the things that have changed since then, and then there's other things that have stayed exactly the same, which is kind of cool.
You perhaps more than any person have influenced my current business and my path online. I get to mastermind with you regularly, and I get to pick your brains on all matters relating to business and marketing. Now, I'd love to have you reveal some of that really cool business and strategy stuff right here on today's podcast. Now, does that sound like something you'd be up for, James?
Sounds like a great plan. Where do you want to start?
Well, I'd like you to walk us through today the various components of building a real internet-based business. Now, both you and I have got quite established internet marketing-related businesses, but let's assume now that we're starting out again. What's the first step?
I think the first step is to realize that you're dealing with a business. So the internet is just a channel. It's a marketing channel. And I see some people think that internet marketing is some kind of business. Really, the internet connects customers to your business. So start with the business itself. And when I really want to pull it back to basics, I have a look at, well, what is the business structure? Who owns it? Do you have proper accounting and legal situation in the beginning as if you were going to grow that into a serious business? And that is like the first stop for people who join my programs is I'm like, well, what have you got? What's it called? How's it structured? Do you have insurance? Are you going to be able to keep some of all that profit that you bring into the business? And that is the foundation. And the next step that I look for is, what is the point of this business?
You were in contact with over 200 plus internet marketers, I guess, every single day inside your Fast Web Formula community, answering their questions and helping them move forward with their internet businesses. I'm sure you see a lot of the same mistakes being made by new internet business owners. What's the one big one that comes up time and time again?
Some people make this mistake of approaching business as some kind of hobby, or, you know, trying to do everything cheap, but that's not how real businesses are built. Actual businesses have a lot more structure behind them. And if you think about even the businesses that we all deal with, like a bank, a restaurant, they're going to have infrastructure. They have the cost of staff. They have cost of stock. And, you know, that's why I look at, you know, who controls this thing? Some people surrender all of their equity when they start their business, and then they build it and then they have nothing. Other people under-resource it and the business fails. So you can't really go too far until you look at the structure of it and then have a look at the purpose or the point of that business. Like, what's your strategy going to be? And hopefully the business will be set up to solve some kind of problem, and it will be easy for people to identify your business if they have that problem, and it will be easy for people to understand how you solve the problem, and it will be easy for people to give you money to solve their problem. And then, of course, you have to deliver the solution. So a lot of the things that will determine a successful business are how they are set up, how they solve problems, how they deliver that solution, and then if they can repeatedly do it or scale or become the premium supplier of that solution in the marketplace.
Now, you have a monster of a business now. I think you make over $1 million in profit and your business doubles in size most years. Have you always met such success, or did you have some challenges starting out, James?
Well, I guess I started out with my own challenge, which was simply how to build a website. That was like the big challenge. At the time when I was running the businesses, I figured the internet channel, that marketing channel, was so big that it would allow me to go all around the world and I could find people anywhere and do transactions online. So the first challenge was how to build a website, and I struggled with that to the point where I almost gave up and I just bought some software that promised to make it easy to build a website. And it didn't. And I was just like heartbroken. Then as the last ditch attempt, there was another software program that said it was even easier. And I bought it, and it turned out that it was easier to use than the one I'd already purchased, even though it was less expensive. And I built a website, but just to really get a hold of the concept, I made a website example site to show myself all of the functions of it. And it turned out that other people had the same problem as me trying to build a website. And I started selling copies of this software as an affiliate. In other words, I got a referral commission. So that is how I first met success online, was finding other people with problems just like mine. And if you were to take that all the way to where my business is at now, most of it revolves around helping businesses get online or understand how to run their business properly. And it is everything from information on how to do that to services where we'll just do it for a business. And then inevitably, I've ended up dealing with lots of business owners who want to go, to that next sort of level where their business is growing, but they want to grow it faster. They want to shortcut the pathway by getting information from someone who's already seen it, done it, tested it, put up the resource budget. And I've ended up with a business that pretty much has that information arm and the service arm coming together into one quite large business now.
And how did your business evolve into what it is today? Did you always plan to have an information and service-based business, or did it evolve from the wants and needs of your customers?
Well, that's exactly how it evolved, because from one group of customers, they asked me questions, I might use a piece of software in my business, and my customers will say, what software should I use? And my answer is, well, I had the same question, so I went and looked at all of these different software solutions. Three of them sucked. One of them was awesome. These are the reasons I chose that software, and perhaps you should use it too. And then the next question they say is, well, how do I use that software? So I'm like, well, I'll put together some training for it. Here's how you use that software. And then they say, gosh, I'm kind of busy. Is there any chance I could just hire your team just to do it for me? And then so I'll get people in my team, and then we'll just provide that service. So yeah, the natural evolution is by always focusing obsessively about the problems and challenges that my customers have, I have been able to create product after product and service after service that addresses their needs. And someone put it quite eloquently in a podcast interview once. They thought that I was like at the marathon. I'm the guy at the table with the sports supplement drink. When the runner comes up and they get thirsty, I'm there holding out the next round of supplements for them that is going to get them to the next stage. So hopefully for my customers, I'm able to solve a good portion of their problems around that particular space. So yes, they do feed each other, and it's exactly like the Mercedes dealership that I used to run, where people, we were dealing with the same customer, but in different parts of the business with different things. Everything from someone buying a Mercedes to then wanting to service the Mercedes. And of course, they want to finance it half the time. And if something needs upgrading, they might buy parts for it, a new key ring or a petrol cap or tyres, etc. So we were able to deal with the same customer but in different parts of the business.
So James, it'd be great to get a short checklist at this point of those considerations relating to establishing the right business structure starting out.
Yeah, so the checklist would be the legal entity. Hopefully it's something other than just a sole trader. Then it will be, do they have insurance? They would probably want to speak to an accountant and a lawyer to get the right legal structure and the right business structure. Now, you only have to do this at the point where you actually have enough business traction that you can't afford to lose what you have in place. In the beginning, maybe you don't need this. As soon as you start making good money, you want to sort it out early, because it looks a bit shifty when you start changing entities after you've accumulated wealth. So get that going as early as practical. If you do have potential legal exposure, get insurance, but seek someone who can give you proper advice. Of course, I'm not licensed to give advice. Then they'll want to look at things like the name of the business and see that it's appropriate and not trademarked by someone else, and that they can be comfortable growing that business, something they feel good about. But this isn't the point where you get obsessive about business cards and stuff. That will come later. That's a marketing device. Then they want to be clear on their strategy. What is the purpose of this business? How would they like to design this business in terms of working from home or from an office? Do they want staff? Do they want stock? Are they going to operate in that country or somewhere else? And what sort of business model they'll pursue? Do they want to be a retailer or a wholesaler? You know, this might come down to the sort of strengths they have as a business operator, or their skill set or experience level. And they might want to work strongly on their offer, because ultimately, if you are in the problem-solving business, it's how you convey that to your audience that will be important, and that will determine the take-up rate.
Okay, so we got ourselves set up with a sound business structure. I guess we should give some consideration to the business model we want to pursue. Now, you've tried a few, James: affiliate marketing, information products, software, membership sites, services, and probably a whole lot more I've missed. What are those that you consider the best for someone starting out online?
Well, there's everything from setting up an eBay store through to creating your own information products. So the ones that I currently do are good indicators of ones that I like, you know, because they're self-proving. One is to be an affiliate. That's where you sell somebody else's products or services and you get a commission for everyone who you introduce. The positives are you can start for a low cost. You don't really even need a website, but that's a good strategy to do. And you don't have to worry about creating a product, sourcing a product, managing the stock, dealing with returns or complaints, or writing sales copy or any of that stuff. You can get started easily. The downside is you don't really grow your business so much. You're more or less building someone else's as a paid sales agent. The next sort of business model that's quite common is to create your own products or services, or to have your own store where you're reselling stock, for example. But it's your business, you're growing it, and other people are marketing for you if you have affiliates, and you can control your own marketing. But you do have a lot more requirement. You've got infrastructure now. You probably do have a website. You do have to potentially buy stock or services. You have to manage customer service, and you have to manage billing. And ideally, if you get it right, it's a good business model and it's quite scalable for most people. There are still other models where you might go heavily into that e-commerce market and have a store, and that might involve you even having a warehouse. You can use someone else's or you can have your own, but depends what part of the market you want to get into. And there are certain ups and downs of having either. And certainly depends which market you're operating in and how good you are with logistics. Then there's things like wholesale service provision, which is where you assemble a team of people and you actually create a service, and then people buy that from you and they resell it Or you could go direct to the end customer, in which case you're starting to become more of a marketing business where you're dealing with that end consumer. So you can see there's so many different choices even within in those small sort of sector of business models. There's even more where you could be doing information services. So you could provide how-to products. You can even take that offline and use the online market to sell offline workshops. Or you could do virtual masterminds or virtual coaching in a forum environment. So I'm doing a lot of these different models. I haven't gone into things like eBay because I don't want to be on their platform. I'd rather be operating from my website. And I don't do physical stock anymore. I don't want actual things because they generally cost more to get. They are expensive to ship and move around, and they have damages and they go disappearing sometimes. So I'm mostly digital or services. That's my thing.
So what about systems? We're probably going to need some software and equipment to run this thing. What's in that toolkit, James?
Yeah, in terms of systems, you're going to need some basics like a website, some hosting, a domain name, an email capturing program that hopefully can be automated and send automated messages, and even better if it can be sequential or tagged based so that it can have rules and triggers, because that can really help you build the business faster. And as you grow bigger, you'll need things like the ability to test things, survey things, and support is going to be a big one. If you're dealing with people in any form, you want to build out your support system infrastructure. And these can be done on for a very low cost and using specialist providers like Zendesk. And that is going to be an early consideration as you grow.
And the truth is, none of this stuff costs a fortune. I know Zendesk you can get for as little as $20 one-off, I believe. And most email broadcast software such as AWeber probably costs about $20 per month. The barrier to entry is very low. Now, with something like email broadcast software, do you recommend people do get started with a basic option like MailChimp or AWeber, or will they need something more? I mean, what are you using now, James?
Now I'm using Office Autopilot, which will soon be called Entreport. And that was an upgrade for me from AWeber. Most people will be happy with AWeber or MailChimp, but I went for Office Autopilot because I'm able to do more automation. And for me, that's important. It's a key to growing my business. It's probably around $300 a month. So for someone starting out, they would look at that as too expensive. As soon as you have 1,000 customers, I would say that this is going to be a better maneuver because it allows you to do more things. We also should throw in there, you're going to need at some point probably project management software if you have a team, and you'll need a shopping cart to be able to handle all of your transactions. And advanced things are the ability to have meetings with customers and or online webinars or teleseminars with prospects.
Being able to work from home and operate virtually is surely one of the key advantages for an internet-based business like ours. Both you and I have teams based elsewhere, and yours is quite a large team. Tell me a little bit about how that works, because the setup is quite different to a typical bricks and mortar business.
Yeah, they're in a different country, and even more so, they all work from home. So we have, I guess just shy of 100 people all hanging out at their house. So no one is in the same place, except for the odd husband, wife, or partner setup that we have. Most people are scattered around, but we all collaborate, and that is the power of this medium, is we can come together for a common purpose. And that's why your business should be very clear. You should still have some of the things that work in a traditional business, such as core values that drive your business, that everyone understands what your business does and how they do it and why they do it. And once you've got that direction, then that gets you a sense of purpose. And it's easy to then start setting up benchmarks and reporting, because you need to be able to keep score as you go through. And If anything, I see people are a little bit unclear about what it is they're doing online. They just see the word opportunity and get all starry-eyed about that, about the appeal of it. But when it comes down to rolling up the sleeves, you really have to get stuck into the hardcore things. So, yes, you have your system set up, but you're probably going to need some people, and you're probably going to have a deeper understanding of the mechanics of a business on the flow of getting marketing happening to bring in leads and turning those leads into customers and then helping those customers spend more money with you and actually get to keep some of it after all of your costs.
And that's the intention, right? To create a business that makes profit so you can fund the sort of lifestyle you want. So was it always your intention to build a team of 100 people? And do you really need a small army powering your business? Because I guess that would probably be pretty scary for most people starting out.
No, I'll give you a double no on that one. So firstly, it was definitely not the intention when I left my job. When I quit my job, it was me plus a part-time article writer and a part-time support person. That was the entire team. And still today, half my business, and we're talking a multi-million dollar business, runs with just me because of two of the business models that I've chosen are not very people intensive. They're very me intensive, but they're not people intensive. And that's great. But the other half of my business is very people intensive. However, it doesn't require me that much. So it's kind of cool that I'm able to balance those two business models, and together they're very powerful. So no, you do not need a large team, and you do not have to scale to make good money, but you do have to have a business model that supports what your business is trying to do. That's why the second step is designing your business. The type of business model that doesn't require a lot of people is generally going to be one that is relating to software, because the system can be leveraged. So software as a service is one. You might have things like apps as well, that's two, or Kindles, or podcasting. All of these things are sort of more leveraged in terms of the technology rather than people. They will require a specialist knowledge like programmers or technical setup. But if you want to take the stage on YouTube or podcasting or run masterminds or do coaching or just write great information products, you can get by with a very small team, maybe contractors or one or two people to help you out here and there. It's the other type of business models, such as service provision or e-commerce, that is going to be far more resource intensive.
So as I can see, you operate a business a little bit like a two-hulled boat, with each side supporting the other. You could lose either one of those hulls and your business would continue to sail along just fine.
That's what my accountant says. He says I'm in a very good scenario, and a very rare scenario. Most business owners would die to be in my position, where they have no debt, no costs, so to speak, that can't be liquidated within an instant. And yeah, the business keeps growing and it gets more and more profitable every single day. The metrics just keep growing. I mean, just last month, we had a 15% increase in our revenue than the month prior. Some businesses would be happy for 15% growth over 3 years, let alone a month.
So you're in a pretty healthy position right now, James. So what's next for you? Are you planning to consolidate, or should we expect more growth from Superfast Business?
Well, there's always something new and there's always consolidation. So, you know, the business as it matures, in the beginning, it's just a scramble to get customers and to find something that works. You know, if you can make something convert, that is step one. Step two is you grow it profit-wise, not growth for the sake of growth. So that's an important distinction. So you go through that optimization phase where you start fine-tuning, and then you go for innovation where you want to just radically grow it. So many years, almost every year, my business has doubled until recently, but I'm planning on doubling it again now. And the way that I'll do that is constantly analyzing my business, looking for the radical innovation and also optimizing. So I've split my management team into two main types of managers. One is the innovator, the grower, and I've created a little incubation unit, and I've given them new projects to grow. They'll grow it quickly using everything we know to date, and they have pretty ambitious deadlines and all of my support. Then the other type of business leader that we have is our optimizers or fixer. Once the new business divisions take hold and are proven, then we move in a management team who can maintain and optimize that business division and hold it steady. And then there's one or two divisions that we will exit, where we liquidate them by selling them off and bringing the profit back into the business to move into new areas. So I guess like a dynamic machine, we're constantly making some parts of the machine redundant and replacing them with newer parts. And that whole business actually lifts up and improves every single month.
Now, one thing that always impresses me about you, James, is your level of productivity and how much you're able to achieve while still having an abundant time to do the stuff you love outside of your business. So is your role now in the business purely strategic?
That's primarily my role. My role is strategy and driving the business. And I've managed to get my team operational, and now they're even getting a bit strategic. And that was sort of, that's where my business is at. I've reached the point where the top people in my business have to be strategic now, and they have to push that operational stuff down one level. And that frees me up. Instead of having to step into the operations and trying to teach them the strategy, now I can really focus on driving a business that next stage. I can attend, I can visit other countries, I can speak to people, I can spend time planning. I could literally sit here and do nothing other than read a book or sit out in the sun for an hour or two with a coffee and focus and have that quality time without having back-end appointments over and over and over, you know, backed one onto the other, without getting fried with 1,000 emails. I can actually have that layer of perspective that, you're right, a lot of business owners are just drowning in the detail at the moment.
Now, I'd like to close things out now, James. What one piece of final advice could you offer people listening to this podcast?
Well, the most important thing is to keep things as simple as possible. It doesn't matter how many people I get in the business. It doesn't matter how many websites I have, how many services. My goal is always to have the minimum possible. I want the simplest checklist if we have tasks to do. I want the least amount of appointments in my calendar. I want to be able to just focus on one thing at a time. And I know that I'm able to say no to a lot of things, and I know that some things that I think are important are just not important. So by letting go of a lot of stuff, you can actually breathe easy. You can focus on that most important thing with the shortest amount of steps and get the best possible result. So I guess less is more is really something that's been rewarding me lately. And when I go and meet with my team, we actually say, what can we stop doing or eliminate from our business that's just noise or wasting our time? What are just the key important things that we really must do? And let's just focus on them.
James, thank you so much. You've shared a wealth of really, really cool stuff. You can check out more of what James is up to at superfastbusiness.com. JS, I look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Thanks, JR.
To learn how to build a profitable audience for your website, check out Barabe.com.